children's activity going on over there, so if any big kids want to go and join them, I'm sure Sue will be quite happy to entertain them. Before we get on to the reading for today, because this is one of those readings where there's dozens of sermons, and it's a question of picking the one that seems appropriate for today. So if it isn't the one you want, well, we'll come back another time. But I'd like to say a little bit about the healing miracles in Mark. One of the more confident claims that theologians make is that Jesus healed people. And that's fairly evident, I think. And I'd be the last person to try and claim that these things didn't happen. What I would claim, though, is there's far more to these stories than the healings that took place. I mean, there's a dozen healing miracles in Mark alone. It doesn't need 12 to tell us that Jesus could heal. So there must be more to it than just the healings. And Jesus said time and time again that he'd come to preach that the kingdom of God was here. And I think I firmly believe that miracles are actually part of his claim in proclaiming good news focused on God. So these healing miracles function something like parables. And I'm sure that many of them contain memories and echoes of specific healings. But as I say, there's much more to them than that. So in today's story, Jesus crossed back into Jewish territory. And some wag said that the ferries used to cost so much to get back across the Sea of Galilee, it's no wonder that Jesus walked on water. But we've got two stories today in Mark's Gospel, typical sandwiching style. I think it's a really good storytelling style, where he started one story, then interrupted it with another, and then came back to the first story. Here, Jesus was approached by a synagogue leader named Jairus, quite an important man. And Jairus begged Jesus repeatedly to accompany him back to his home to heal his little girl. And Jesus agreed. And as they left to go to Jairus' home, there were lots and lots of people pressing on to Jesus. And a woman, we're here, who'd been suffering from bleeding, pressed through the crowd to touch Jesus. She believed that if she could only just touch Jesus, she would be healed. See, what both Jairus and the woman had in common was that they were desperate, absolutely desperate. Jairus' daughter was at the point of death. And he was so desperate that he fell down on his face, begging Jesus. And that poor woman, who'd been suffering for 12 years with this condition she had completely exhausted her money, having endured much from many physicians, probably being passed from one to another. Perhaps that's recognisable to you today. But she pushed through the crowd, completely oblivious, or perhaps not even caring, that she was, according to Jewish law, unclean. Everyone she touches, she rendered unclean. Both were desperate, Jairus and the woman were desperate. And they saw Jesus as their last resort. What's interesting is that in both these stories, the touch of Jesus is emphasized. And when the woman touched Jesus' garment, he sensed that healing power had flowed out of him. He turned round and said, "Who touched me?" What an odd thing to say in a crowd. And the disciples thought it was odd as well, because they question, what are you on about? Everybody's touching you. But someone touched Jesus on a much deeper level than just brushing up against him. Someone had connected with Jesus in a healing way. There's an interesting thing about the word healing, isn't there? We hear it, we've heard it before, and I make no apologies for stressing it again. The Greek word not only means healing, it means saving as well. It means to be saved or to be made free. To be made whole, if you like. And to be made whole in the Gospels, in other translators, it's in other places it's translated as being saved. And I think that's one clue, perhaps, that these stories are more about physical healing. Much more than just that. When Jesus arrived at Jairus' house, he was greeted by that awful news. Your daughter is dead. What a thing to be told as you walk along the street to go home. Your daughter is dead. Jesus said, perhaps, some odd words. Don't fear, don't be frightened. Just believe. Don't let fear overwhelm you. Trust God's healing power. And trust me as an agent of that power. Then Jesus told the people that had come, all the mourners, the professional mourners, if you like, that the child wasn't really dead, she was only sleeping. I wonder what they thought. Would they think he was barley again? Or would they just not believe him? Or would they perhaps think, oh, perhaps they are mistaken after all? I don't know, we're not told. But Jesus said, she was asleep. If you're asleep, the next thing you do is wake up. And I think the point that Jesus was making was that it was time for her to wake up. Time to rise up with new life and new energy. Rise up, little girl. Get up. Perhaps that's what we need to hear. Each day. Rise up. We need to hear that from Jesus. Don't just lie there sleeping. Rise up with new life and energy. What is it that's pressing us down? Like sickness. Or keeping us from rising up and embracing life? Could it be something physical over which we've got no control at all? It could be something emotional or circumstantial or relationships. But Jesus walked away from the scoffers who couldn't imagine that new life was possible. Your daughter's dead. He carried on regardless, and with her father and some of his disciples went into the house. Jesus touched the little girl. He took her by the hand and said, little girl, get up. What was this touch that healed and restored and brought new life and meaning? Of course, it's obvious, or it should be, to those of us who are followers of Jesus. It was and is a touch of love. See, love is the power that can create life out of death. We've sung about it this morning. How do I know it was love? I think it was love for this reason, perhaps. Jesus was in contact with a woman who was bleeding. Jesus was in contact with a dead girl. And both of those situations in Jewish law would have rendered him unclean, would have made him an outcast. He encountered two people who were considered already to be outcasts and made them acceptable. He ignored the laws of his religion in the name of love. People to Jesus were much more important than petty rules. Perhaps the Health and Safety Brigade should take note of that. It's the touch of Jesus. And the touch of Jesus alone that can bring healing and liberation today. Not just to those people in the stories, but to us and others. Are we open to this touch, to his touch? The touch of Jesus may come to us through some expression of forgiveness, perhaps, by a friend or a family member. It might come in the form of a personal presence, someone willing to sit with us, listen to us, expressing our own fears and insecurities without judging us, or trying to correct us, or trying to make us feel guilty for feeling how we feel. See, Christ's healing touch can come in many, many ways. But we also need to ask, not only am I open to the loving touch of Jesus, we've got to go on and say, am I willing to be the loving touch of Jesus? Am I willing to be the presence of Jesus to some other person or community, perhaps, that needs to feel his loving touch? To someone who needs to know that there is someone else who cares. See, sometimes healing comes to us not as a result of our own faith, but the faith of someone else. Someone who loves us for who we are rather than what we are. I'm sure you've heard many stories from people whose lives have been changed by experiencing Jesus through someone else. In some parts of the church, these are called testimonies. It's not a word I like, testimony. I just like the word story. I think it's much more human. Sometimes we're the ones who must press through the challenges and obstacles blocking our path. Like the woman who pressed through the crowd to touch Jesus. There are times, I'm sure you've had those times, I know I have, when they've got no energy or ability or will to make that journey, to press through on our own. And we're like the little girl who's dependent on others. Sometimes we're too ill, too depressed, or too fearful, too insecure, or too this and that, whatever it is, that we need someone else to hold us up and help us to get up. There are also those times when we have to ask who it is that needs our touch. See, in these stories, Jesus shows the power of touch, both for us and through us. I was watching a program on the television the other day, and I was saddened because a doctor on the program put his arm on a patient. And her response was, "Don't touch me unless it's medically necessary." I thought, how sad that society is so bad now that you're not allowed to touch someone to comfort them. I think in these stories, the opposite is being shown. Who does need our presence? Who needs our love and compassion and empathy? Who needs us to stand with them or stand for them today? Because they can't stand for themselves. Why should we care? Quite simply, because Jesus did. And our next song explains why. As they magically go back, go around the corner. Should you get a clicker like this when musicians appear?